This is the story of our first big trip in Germany. We're on our way to Berchtesgaden for a 6 or 7 day vacation. We left number one panorama vague about 9:45 in the morning, headed toward Frankfurt. It's a beautiful day. It's going to be a trip of about 350 miles. We had a bit of bad map reading by both the driver and the navigator in the car. So instead of turning off to go toward Darmstadt, we headed on toward Frankfurt. I said we start out toward Frankfurt. That's the way you have to go originally. Catch the Autobahn headed toward there, but like Autobahns in the United States, if you miss a turnoff, you're in deep trouble for a while. And instead of taking the jaunt clear on up to Frankfurt, which looks like it might be, oh, say 10 miles out of your way by the time you go up and come back, while we turned off on a side road, you know, to drive through a few towns and get right back on the Autobahn. Well, it just didn't work out that way. So after much finagling and fussing and fuming, finally, we did get back on the Autobahn. I suppose we probably lost 45 minutes time or so. Did get to see a few German towns we probably wouldn't under normal circumstances see. Got back on the highway okay and continued our journey. Stopped for a lunch that we had taken with us somewhere around 12 o'clock at a roadside park. Boy, along the Autobahn there are no problem finding parks. There are much more numerous than you'll see on the interstates in the states where we've traveled anyway, in the U.S. And it just seems like they have some pull-off places about every 10 miles or so. It seems like you'll see a sign for a place to park. Anyway, we had our lunch, got back in the car, and continued the journey. Well, the Autobahn, I would have liked to have, maybe we can on the way back, we think about it. I'll take the tape recorder out and set it down. All this was a Sunday, and maybe when we go home, it'll probably be Saturday, and traffic will probably be as bad or worse. It's just one constant string of cars going up and down. It just must sound something like the Indianapolis Speedway, as much with four lanes of traffic, two in each way, just zoom, zoom, zoom. And the Autobahn, some places are a little bit rough, so especially the right-hand lane. So I'd like to drive the left-hand lane quite a bit. But you only get to drive it so much, and you'd be look out the back window, and you see cars quite a ways in the distance. The next thing you look up, here comes a Mercedes-Benz. Boy, you better get over in the right, because he's a-going. They must give them guys charging licenses when they sell them an automobile, because they really do fly. I think I did pass one Mercedes on the way down. I can't remember where it was, but it sticks in my mind that I passed one. All the others that I saw passed us, and they must have been going 20 miles an hour faster than we are. And I traveled about 65 miles an hour, 65 to 70 most of the time. So it's quite a race and all the way, but not too bad. And although a little more tiring, I believe, than the interstates in the States, because of that bit of trying to travel a left lane, and they really expect you to get out of the way when they want to pass you. You better be out of the way. It seems like they're going to run right over the top of you. Another problem you got to worry about over here, if you want to travel on the American gas plans, that is, I buy gas through Esso, and by pulling into Esso stations, I can just trade in coupons. You don't pay for the gasoline at the stations. You buy them through our base exchange system, and then when you buy your gasoline, you just exchange tickets. And it's about half as expensive if you have to pay for the gas. Well, gasoline runs about 60 cents a gallon. It's measured in liters. I never really sat down to really figure out what it would be gallon-wise, but it's somewhere in the 55 to 60 cents a gallon area is what gasoline costs. And I left with a full tank, and for some reason on the autobahns as we went past Darmstadt, Heidelberg, Stuttgart, we didn't see Esso stations to pull into. We saw one or two, and they either be on the wrong side of the road or the couple came way too early that we didn't want to stop. And a matter of fact, you just don't see too many gas stations along the way. Well, after we'd driven quite a little ways, and the gas gauge was starting to read about a quarter full, I finally decided I better pull into a German station, otherwise it wasn't going to be too long. We're going to have to pull off into Augsburg, or if we could make Munich, pull off the Autobahn somewhere and try to find the station. So I drove into a German station and bought $2.50 worth of gas. Of course, over here, that does not go very far with the price of gasoline as high as it is. And as luck would have it, soon we ran into Esso stations, not too many more miles on down the highway. So one of the first Esso stations I came to, I went ahead and drove in, filled up the rest of the tank. From then on, saw Esso stations, it seemed like every few miles. Of course, that's really not true, but they're quite plentiful anyway from the Munich area on south, and there are Esso stations right here in Berchtesgaden. One reason you must watch for gasoline stations oftener with a foreign car or the German car that we have is because it only holds 40 liters of gasoline, which equates to about 10 gallons. When most American cars hold 20 gallons, you can see a difference right there. Although I'm assuming I must be getting somewhere around 25 miles to the gallon, you can't drive as far as you could with an American car where you're getting 18 to 20 on a trip. So it's kind of important that you have a good map that marks where the rest houses or motels as you have and the gas stations are located along the Autobahn. And we did get that figured out by mid-afternoon, the markings on the map, what they did stand for. We got surprised when we got to Munich. I was expecting to stay right on an Autobahn right through Munich. However, as soon as we reached the outskirts of Munich, the sign started appearing that the Autobahn was going to end very soon. And so right through Munich we went on regular streets. Very obvious that Munich is an old city, and what we saw was not particularly a impressive sight. Going down over the streetcar tracks, run along the street, and we saw some of them still in operation. But most of the city that we saw, that part of it anyway, was quite old. It got prettier, I think, all the way further south, although we're quite surprised at the amount of trees that there are in Germany. Seems like most of the highway is lined with trees all the way from Wiesbaden. And then further south we come, then we start to see the mountains themselves. And it is a pretty trip, especially from, it's a pretty trip all the way, but especially from Munich on to Berchtesgaden, it is very pretty. It was about 6 o'clock when we got into Berchtesgaden, I guess I should be pronouncing it instead of saying garden, should be gotten, some similarity to that. And that's about when our reservations were up. If we hadn't come into the accommodations office by 6 o'clock, our reservations could be canceled. Well, we got into town, we had a kind of a poor map, and so we had some more bad navigation for the day from both the driver and the navigator. The driver made a bad turn, and we're on our way up to the General Walker Hotel, which is located up in the mountains. Well, normally that wouldn't have been so bad because we could have just turned around and come back. But lo and behold, I don't know whether it was sightseers or what had been going on, but it was 3 kilometers from the town up to the General Walker Hotel, and I swear there must have been a solid line of cars for the 2 kilometers. And coming down a mountain road, I thought it was going to be a long time before we got back. So I made the decision to go on up to the General Walker and call the Central Accommodations office down in the town and tell them we were in town and please hold a reservation. And this we did. They said they would after I called them. So we ate supper then at the General Walker. Well, it took us about an hour to eat supper, and down the hill we came. I thought, sure, we'd run into cars before long, but I guess they cleared things away pretty fast because we were able to come right straight from the General Walker all the way downtown and get to the accommodations office. And they had given us a room at the Berchtesgadener Hotel. We have a room that has 3 single beds and a rollaway bed, nice bath, and the view is tremendous. Looking out on a first floor, we have a beautiful view. Out our south window, we overlook the swimming pool, and not in the very far distance, we can see the snow-capped Alps. The mountains in the foothills is pine-covered, so the contrast between the snow-capped and the pine-covered Alps in the background are very beautiful. I'm sure we're going to enjoy this view the entire week. So that completes the first day of our beautiful trip, we hope, to Berchtesgaden. Monday morning we slept in till about 9 o'clock, and with these wonderful lattes that cover the windows over here in Germany, that isn't hard to do. You never really know that the daylight was daylight or darkness outside. So we had a late breakfast, and then set out upon our first tour. There were about 6 tours we want to take in, so our tour on Monday was to the Kunig See, which Phyllis tells me is the King's Sea. Our tour left from the billeting office, and after a short drive, we arrived at the Kunig See. Very evident that this is a popular tourist attraction with the hotels built right down to the lake. I'll call it a lake instead of a sea. And I have forgotten the exact number, but I believe they had something like 20 electric boats that go up and down this lake. And this is what our tour consisted of, was to get on the boat and go from one end of the lake to the other. And it was a very beautiful trip. I would say the boat probably held about 50 people, each boat. An electric boat, so thus very little noise, and this keeps down the pollution in the lake itself. The lake is formed from the melting snow in the mountains, and you have the Alps on both sides, and the lake is right in the middle of it. It's a very pretty trip. I hope I got a few nice pictures. And when you reach the opposite end of the lake, there's a church called St. Bartholomew Church, where the boat pulls in and stops, and then there's a place to get out and eat. Have some refreshments of both liquid or regular food. Well, each of us had to taste a different kind of cake at the restaurant, so a few calories was added to Mrs. Newton and to the rest of the Newtons.
I guess so. You might say that
there's
a second kind of
mountain in there, isn't there? Oh, the mountains around this lake are, on one side, are called the Wachsmann's Mountains, which are the second highest mountains in Germany.
Mountain?
Well, it's the Wachsmann family is what surrounds the lake on the one side. Of course, some of the old tales, one of them is supposed to be a man and the mountain and the lady mountain, the missus, and seven children, as I recall. We had a very funny guide on the trip with us, and it's too bad we didn't have a tape recorder with us, because this man really cracked a bunch of funny jokes with a deadpan face at all times when the comments he made. And there were other tourists with us who did have a tape recorder, and I'm sure that it added quite a bit to them when they got back to hear the comments this man had to say. It was a very pretty trip both ways, and there's a on one side of the lake is a pretty waterfall. The waterfall descends, I suppose, 800 to 900 feet onto the lake, and it adds quite a bit to the trip itself. We intended to go to a movie that night, but there was no babysitter available, and the nursery was closed, so after dinner it was early to bed. Add a footnote to Monday's tour. We did stop downtown in Berchtesgaden and do some window shopping. Look at the pretty things in the jewelry store and the pretty wood carvings. And my tongue hung out as I did much drooling looking at the carvings. And hope I will be able to go back and maybe make a purchase or two while I'm here. On Tuesday, we took a trip up Kelston Mountain, on which the top of is the Eagle's Nest, as the way the Americans know it, which was Hitler's rest palace or retreat area. I believe the guide told us this cost 25 million marks to build the road up to this Eagle's Nest, and which is just now an eating place. And Hitler only visited this place five times, so as he says, it cost 5 million marks, which there's 4 marks for a dollar for each trip that Hitler took up there. On Kelston Mountain itself, where was Hitler's home, Göring's home, Bormann's home, and Eva Braun's home. The General Walker Hotel, which is used by the services now, was originally a hotel for the SS troops that guarded Hitler when he was in this area. Now, none of these places, except for the General Walker Hotel, which has been rebuilt, are standing at the present time. The only thing on the lower part of the mountain that you still can see are the air raid shelters that were built. And of course, it costs a little bit to go in, a mark or two to go in and see these things. But the state of Bavaria demolished what was left of these homes in 1952. 10 days before the end of the war, the British came over and bombed the entire area, and they burned out the buildings themselves, but the walls were still standing of most of these houses. So apparently, I think in the 52 was when the occupation really kind of ended over here, and the state of Bavaria then completely demolished these houses. Somebody asked the guide why they did this, and apparently the reason was that they just didn't like the idea of the Hitler era here, so they tried to destroy it. Of course, now, in a way, it's kind of publicized, the fact, because it's a big tourist attraction in the sense now that 22 years have passed since the war, it is a tourist attraction for people to go back and see the area. The day was sunny, but cloudy. Now, Kelston's mountain rises to a height of about 6,800 feet. Took a tour bus up about 3,000 feet. This is just past the General Walker Hotel and in the general area where Hitler's and Göring's home were at the time. After the guide talked to us and told us about the area, we left our tour bus and got on another bus to ride about another 3,000 feet. We took a road, which is the one I explained that cost about 25,000 marks on up to the 6,000-foot level. Now, this road is open only to bus or to hikers. At the 6,000-foot level, we then got on elevators and went up the remaining 800 feet. Terrific view in all directions. Mainly, you can you're surrounded by Austria, as Berchtesgaden is right down in the tip. But with it being cloudy, we weren't able to see a great distance. A lot of snow at that altitude, but it was very pretty. And the girls, I think, got a big kick out of being able to finally play in the snow. I have doubts that my movie pictures will turn out too good because of the cloudy condition. But it was a nice trip anyway. Wish it could have been clear. Well, maybe not so much. It was clouds around us. It was hazy on top of it. So the combination of the two will probably take the clarity of the picture from the high altitudes lower down looking at Berchtesgaden. After lunch, we just took it easy on Tuesday afternoon. The girls went out and played in the swings. Nice playground out here for them, and they really enjoy that. And they seemed in the afternoon we went downtown to window shop again and then ate dinner at the Bellevue Hotel, another hotel which the Americans have some kind of agreement with. Maybe they completely run it, I don't know for sure. We all had Italian food for dinner. The girls each had a pizza, and Phyllis and I had veal scallopini, which was very good. So then we came back to the room. Don't believe we did anything particular after that, but to bed. Wednesday morning, found it a beautiful day. The mountains were clear, no clouds or very few clouds, and no haze, so we could see quite a distance. We left the girls in the nursery and took a tour to Salzburg, Austria. It was a very good tour. Went through the center of town. The guide did a very good job explaining all the old buildings. And then they let us out in the Kapitel Platz. From here we boarded a cable car to climb 400 feet above the city on a 60% incline to reach the Hohensalzburg Fortress, which was built back in about the 15th century. From here, we got a very beautiful view of the city. The river runs right through the city, and being a clear day, we could see for many, many miles. From the fortress, we went through the catacombs. This is the oldest catacombs outside of Rome. They were started in about 176 A.D., took 140 years for them to get the chapels built or the catacombs dug out. They still use one or two of the chapels that are in these catacombs, and this was very interesting. Salzburg is a city of churches. I believe the guide said they have 39 churches in Salzburg, 36 Catholic, two Protestants, and one synagogue, I believe, with the details. But like so many of the churches in Europe that I've seen so far, they're just beautiful inside. And we went into a couple of them, and they're so ornate, it's hard to describe unless you've seen them. They're so much different than anything you see in the United States, or what I've seen anyway, that I thoroughly enjoy going in to see them. From the churches, we went to Mozart's birthplace. They have a museum there at the present time, and he is their famous individual that was born here. At the museum, we had about 45 minutes of free shopping time. So that's just time enough for Phyllis to look for her spoons that she's collecting and to purchase a couple of them. tour took about 4 hours altogether, and we arrived back in Birch's Garden at noon. In the afternoon, we took a tour to the salt mines. This was quite an interesting tour, and the salt mines are located right adjacent to the town. They were started in 1517, so they've been in, and they're still in production there. So that's 450 years that they've used these mines. I believe the guide told us they have a total of 112 sinkholes in the mountain that they use. And they use one sinkhole for a period of 12 to 15 years. It was very interesting to have them explain this to us as to how you go about to get the salt. I never had any idea before. I guess I thought they just blasted the stuff and mined it out. But they don't. They drill down into run a shaft down into the mountain, and they fill a hole up with water, and the salt just settles out of the ground into this water. And when they get a solution of 26% brine, they call it, well, then they pipe it about 12 to 15 miles to Bad Reichenhall, a town north of here. After they have pumped the sinkhole out, they fill it full of water again, and repeat the process. This is why they use a good place. They can use it for 12 to 15 years. And the only reason, in some cases, I guess, that they move on is they're afraid of getting the sinkhole so big that the portion of the mountain might collapse in. Now, Kathleen will tell a little bit about the tour.
This is Kathleen, and I want to tell about the salt mine. We had to wear these special kind of clothes that were, the men wore black pants and black top, and the ladies wear white pants and black tops. And I'm going to tell about the train. It was a funny train, and we went under these tunnels, and the tunnels were real dark, and then once again, the light came along, and we would go right back under. And we rode on the slide. It was fun. Mommy got scared. And then...
Tell a little bit about what kind of slides they are.
Oh, they're not the ones with the steps. They're a different kind. You're up there, and they're far down. They're even farther than you've ever seen.
They're not like slides on a playground, are they?
No, mm-mm.
They're made out of wood. Kind of hollowed out. Well, you just kind of sit down into it, and the way you go down the hill.
Yes.
And what did Mother do on the first one? Woo, 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 all the way down. Really scared her, didn't it?
Yeah.
Now Janet can tell.
Hello, this is Janet.
Who held you while you went down the slide, Janet?
A man.
The guide, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They held you. They really looked after you, didn't they?
Yeah.
What'd they do for you?
Lifted me up, kind of. So they were starting to lift me up. He lifted me up and he said, now we have a new leader, and so,
And so he carried you through one of the tunnels, didn't he?
Yeah.
Quite a little ways.
Yeah.
And how come he did that? Huh? It was a very interesting tour. Three times we went down these slides, two of them quite steep, and went down for a distance. I think probably the first one, probably 75 feet. Something like that on the first one, and the second one, I believe, was about 30 feet, and the last one, then again, was about 75 feet. We went back in the mountain considerable distance on the train to start with. I think we went in something like 600 meters, and so, of course, you had that distance or more to come back out, plus meandering around some more in the mountain, and we had to cross a lake in there, which was, I think 300 feet long and 50 feet or so across. It was a brine lake. I guess they're not using any longer, but an ingenious raft setup they had to transport you back and forth across it. The reason we were wearing the clothes that Kathleen explained was for going down the slides. Plus, it's damp and dark in there, and it protects your, and it's cool, so it protects your clothing by having everybody wear that kind of clothing. All in all, a very enjoyable trip. After dinner at the Jägerstube, a German dining room here at the Berchtesgadenerhof, we put the girls in the nursery and went to a Bavarian show. This was very enjoyable too. I think there were about 9 men and 3 women. 4 of the men played musical instruments, and the rest of the people then were singers and dancers. And they did their Bavarian dances and did some Bavarian singing. One man did a very good job of yodeling. They brought people up out of the audience once in a while to dance with them too, and they had a lot of fun with the people. They had this show here at least once or twice a week, and it must be the same people do it all the time, so they have a good time. Some of the numbers were using cowbells to the different tones to play the different tunes. They did this for 3 or 4 numbers. Some of the others were dancing, where the men jump up in the air, you know, slap their leg and slap their heels or their feet some way, and slap it 2 or 3 times, you know, before they come back to the floor, which take quite a bit of practice and pretty hard work. And they also had a maypole, an unwrapped